This episode is brought to you by Charles Schwab. Decisions made in Washington can affect your portfolio every day. Washington Wise from Charles Schwab is an original podcast that unpacks the stories making news there. Listen at schwab.com/WashingtonWise.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, December 26th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. As 2023 draws to a close, we're taking a look at some of the forces that impacted your wallet, your home, your investments, and your career in 2023, and what we can expect in the new year. Today, our focus is on inflation.
What we've been having is disinflation, which is the rate of price increases has become smaller. And so when people go to the grocery store, they go to buy other things they need, they still feel like, wow, these prices are really high, even though we have seen inflation cool down quite a bit.
We'll talk to Wall Street Journal economics reporter Amara Omokwe after the break.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Americans got some relief from inflation in 2023, but prices are still putting a strain on our wallets. How can we expect the numbers to stack up in 2024? Wall Street Journal economics reporter Amara Omokwe joins me. So first of all, Amara, help us with the basics. What exactly causes inflation?
Inflation is caused by a mismatch between supply and demand. And the pandemic sort of created a perfect storm for that to happen. You remember that early on in the pandemic, we had shutdowns and government restrictions, and many of us were stuck at home. And you also had a lot of supply chain disruptions emerge around that time, meaning that there were shortages for all sorts of things that businesses needed to produce goods and services. So those shortages initially bumped up against really strong demand for goods because we were all at home. Everybody wanted new furniture, new office supplies, those sorts of things. And then fast forward, the pandemic begins to recede, governments start to lift restrictions, and people were eager to do all the things that we couldn't do during the lockdowns. We wanted to travel, we wanted to eat out, and the like. So now you had those shortages bumping up against strong demand for services. And we also had that demand being supported by a lot of pandemic aid. So stimulus checks, the expanded child tax credit, those sorts of things. So you really just had strong demand that really there wasn't enough supply to meet it.
For the past several months, we've heard that inflation is coming down. But why doesn't it seem like that when I go over my credit card bill?
Well, because there's a difference between inflation cooling and prices outright declining. So what we've been having is disinflation, which is the rate of price increases has become smaller. What we have not had is deflation, which is prices outright declining. So that means we're still seeing prices go up. They're just not going up as fast as they were in 2022. And really what a lot of people are feeling badly about when you look at consumer sentiment data is that inflation is still higher. Prices haven't gone back to where they were pre-pandemic. And so when people go to the grocery store, they go to buy other things they need, they still feel like, wow, these prices are really high, even though we have seen inflation cool down quite a bit.
What prices have actually come down?
So there are a few places where we actually have seen deflation, where we have seen prices decrease. So you may remember gas prices in summer 2022, they were up around $5 a gallon for regular gas. We've seen them come down quite a bit. We've seen eggs come down in price. We saw a run up in prices at the end of 2022 and into early 2023 because there was a bird flu outbreak that really put pressure on the industry. But the industry has subsequently recovered from that. So we've seen egg prices come down. We've seen airline fares come down. You know, we were talking earlier about that strong demand as people wanted to resume traveling and stuff. We saw airfares really increase. But now we're sort of normalizing again now that the pandemic continues to recede. And so we're seeing airfares normalize. And also used cars and trucks. The car industry was one that really suffered from those supply chain disruptions. And we saw that feed into the prices of used cars and trucks. But now that some of those supply chain disruptions have improved, we're seeing the prices also decline.
So there was some good news for consumers in 2023. Another bit of good news was that pay raises beat inflation for the first time in 2 years. Is that likely to continue in 2024?
We saw wage gains start to outpace inflation around mid-year, mid-2023. And that should continue into 2024 because inflation continues to ease. We are still seeing strong wage gains. They're not as strong as they were earlier in 23, but still they are better than they were pre-pandemic. And so if we continue to have pretty solid wage gains and we continue to have inflation easing as it has been this year, then we should see wages better keeping up with inflation compared to 2022 and earlier in 2023.
Still, though, in most cases, prices are significantly higher than they were just a couple of years ago. How are people managing that? How is that changing their day-to-day lives?
So what's been interesting this year is that in spite of elevated inflation and in spite of the Fed raising interest rates, borrowing costs across the economy, essentially, to help cool inflation, we have seen consumer spending really hold up. Consumers have really continued to spend in a way that has surprised economists and many economy watchers. But that is not expected to continue because the labor market is expected to cool down a little bit as the impact of the Fed's interest rate hikes continue to make their way through the economy. Many Americans were sitting on extra savings that they accumulated earlier in the pandemic. People are expected to basically exhaust those funds. And so as those things happen, we should start to see consumer spending slow, and we should start to see the fact that people are grappling with higher prices compared with pre-pandemic to sort of show up more in their consumption habits. We should start to see people maybe pull back on spending a little bit.
What other factors can drive inflation besides supply and demand?
Supply is a big part of the inflation picture. So for instance, in 2022, one of the things that helped drive up the price of gas was fear that there would be a disruption in supplies because of Russia's war in Ukraine. There was a lot of fear around that. Part of the reason why gas prices have come down is because some of those fears have started to ease as there have been policy measures put in place to kind of insulate energy markets from the impact of that war. And we also know that, for instance, when there's bad weather that affects certain crops, or when there's a drought or a flood in certain areas that affects certain crops, that can also affect the price of those goods and subsequently the prices that we see when we go to buy those things at the grocery store. During the post-pandemic period, another supply issue has been labor. A lot of employers have struggled to get the supply of workers that they need, and that has played into the inflation picture as well.
So looking ahead to 2024, what's next for the inflation picture?
The big question for the inflation picture as we head into the new year is, what is the Fed going to do? So the Fed raised interest rates very sharply and quickly to try and get inflation under control. They've been on pause for a little while as they assess how those interest rate hikes are affecting the economy. And so the next question is, how long are they going to hold interest rates at the high level that they raised interest rates to? And then when might they actually start to cut interest rates? When might they actually say, we feel good enough about where inflation is that we can actually start to bring our interest rates down from this restrictive stance that we have them in? So that's what we'll be watching for in 2024.
That's WSJ reporter Amara Omokwe. And that's it for your Money Briefing. We'll be back tomorrow morning with LaSalle Network Staffing Company founder and CEO Tom Gimbel and NYU professor Tessa West to discuss wages, work from home, and what the job market could look like in 2024. This episode was produced by Ariana Osperu with supervising producer Melanie Roy. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Enter a revolutionary business world where AI meets power with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro. Imagine PCs that boost productivity, creativity, and collaboration with cutting-edge AI. They're gateways to innovation, engineered with powerful AI performance, hardware-based security, and AI-powered threat detection. Plus, they're built sustainably and can be managed remotely. Transform your workflow with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro today. No product can be absolutely secure. Become an IT hero at intel.com/ITheroes.